Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of the great church, First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Such a wonderful and great privilege to pastor this church and wonderful people. And if you're ever in Texarkana, we'd love for you to come to First Baptist Texarkana as we worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I'm also the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is a national and international radio and television and online ministry. We share the truth of Scripture, speaking the truth in love. You can find out more at fromhisheart.org, and we are privileged to air every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, yesterday in the studio, we had my friend John Finch, and we were talking about the impact of fathers. He has the movie The Father Effect, and he is with us again today as we talk through this very important subject. This issue of father wounds affects so many people, and it can affect people for the rest of their lives if they don't recognize, hey, here's the problem, and here's what I need to do to correct it. So if you were with us yesterday, you know that John had the tragedy hit his life where his father killed himself when John was 11 years old, and his mother raised John and his two brothers by herself, and not very much money in the family. His dad didn't leave his mom much at all, really nothing. And so it was difficult, it was a struggle, and there was a wound there. And it wasn't until John was 41 years old that he came to the place where he said, hey, I have a problem. I'm masking this with alcohol and with immorality, as a salesman taking people to strip joints and things like that. And so, John, welcome back to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks for having me, brother.
All right, let's talk about, as we were talking yesterday, just kind of piggybacking on our conversation, how can somebody recognize a father wound? What are the telltale signs that, yeah, I do have a hole here in my heart, and that's what it's from? It's from a father wound. How do they recognize that?
Well, a lot of men and women, it's just dying for affirmation, right? They're not comfortable and confident in themselves and the way that they do life. So, for example, and it plays itself out a little bit different with men and women. With men, there's a bigger anger thing. You know, I see a lot of men that are angry. And as I mentioned yesterday, there's this anger thing that plays itself out as a result of father wound. And for men, it's a lot of it is success. It's you'll know some of the most famous people. The most successful people in the world have father wounds. You take Steve Jobs, Dennis Rodman, who was the famous NBA basketball player, Obama, President Obama. You look at a lot of these different people,
right?
And they'll talk about their dads, but there's a deep, deep father wound. And what happens there is these guys are so driven to be successful because what they're doing is they're trying to prove to a dad who wasn't there that they could do it without him.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what drives and motivates them to be as good as they are. Some guys will jump into bodybuilding. Man, I'm going to go just build up and, you know, so I can get that affirmation because it was a result of my body that I always wanted from a dad. A young man that grows up knowing that his dad loves him, knowing he's the apple of his dad's eye, knowing he has what it takes, he's confident in himself.
Right.
He doesn't have to be that life of the party, the guy that's always looking for affirmation and attention. With girls, with women, that father wound plays itself out, and most of the time it's promiscuity. It's girls are dying for some type of affection or attention from a man, and
right.
They're going to take it from anybody. In most cases, it's not such a good dude, right?
Right.
And so that plays out there. Also addiction in both, men and women. It's I'm going to medicate because I've got this anger, this thing I don't want to deal with, this shame, unworthiness, guilt, all those different emotions. So that's how it plays out in both men and women a lot of times. You know, the issue with women, I'll share a quick story. Dr. Meg Meeker, we interview her for the film, and she's really, really good at what she does. She wrote a book called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and I'd recommend it to any man with a daughter. But she shared, she's a pediatrician by trade, and she started seeing this trend in young girls that was girls were having sex at 16, then it was 15, then 14, then 13. She's like, whoa, hold on, what's going on here? So she said, you know, John, on more than one occasion, she would have a young 13, 14-year-old girl walk in her office, and the girl, she'd give her a physical, and she said before the girl would leave, she would say, hey, Dr. Meeker, can you write me a prescription? And Dr. Meeker would say, you don't need a prescription. You're fine. You checked out. There's nothing wrong with you. And the little girl would say, I don't care what it's for, but at the bottom of it, put cannot have sex. And she said, John, what was happening was these young girls were having sex. It wasn't emotionally or physically pleasurable, but it was the only positive affection they were getting from any type of man, right? Even if he was only 13, 14 years old. And this was their permission slip to go and take to Johnny to say, Johnny, I can't have sex anymore.
Wow. How sad.
As a father of three girls, that was one of the many wow moments in my journey and the people that I interviewed. And I just wanted to go back home and hug all my girls and, you know, make sure they know they were loved.
Well, I know for as a dad, and I have three girls, you know, girls especially, they need affection from their dad. But boys need that from their dad, too. It's different. You know, Debbie and I have often talked about this. The relationship that a mom has with daughters versus a mom with sons is different. Dads with daughters, it's an opposite sex thing. So dads with daughters, which is, that's all we know, just having girls. But we protect our girls, and they're our little princesses. But with a boy, you don't want to protect your boy. You want your boy to be strong. And so you raise him up to be independent and strong, which I think is good. But mom has a tendency with boys, just like your relationship with your mom. You're her little boy, and she's protecting you, and don't hurt my little boy, that kind of thing. I'll come after you with my claws out if you do something to my little boy. John, we talked a little bit about this, but you know, when the movie The Father Effect came out, it really exposes the trauma that your family went through, and that can be something that a mom would not want shared, because it, you know, it wasn't her fault that your dad committed suicide, but it's kind of like, well, that's a private matter. Let's not air our dirty laundry. And you know, suicide still has a stigma attached to it. How did she respond to that being just kind of out there?
You know, I think when she started to hear the stories and see how people responded to the movie, she was like, wow, you know, God's doing some really amazing things with the story. And I think she's not one to tell me differently. She was always supportive and encouraging. So when I began to make the movie, I asked her. I said, look, I'm gonna tell the story. I'm going to get real. We're going to get raw.
Right.
And I'm going there. And we're going to talk about the things a lot of people don't want to talk about.
Right.
But it needs to be said. And these conversations need to be had. And guys need to know they're not the only ones. They're not all alone and
right.
The only ones struggling with this. Because that's where, you know, the enemy had me convinced that I was all alone and the only one struggling with it.
Right.
And as I began to share my story, it was like everybody I talked to had a story. So my mom was so supportive and so encouraging. And only as time has gone on, especially when the movie was first released, I think she could be no more prouder now that she sees what God's doing. It's not me.
Right.
This is so much bigger than me. It's all God.
Okay, so John, because I thought about this, it's like, okay, you're John Finch, you're a sales guy. You're not in the ministry per se, you know, professional, as we use that term, you know, not a seminary guy, not called to the pastorate or anything like that. When did God put in your heart, hey, you make a movie about this?
So it was interesting. About 6 months, I had walked away from my corporate sales gig. I felt so strongly about this, and God had just impressed on me. He said, dude, you've got to. And that's how God speaks to me, dude. he's like, you've got to share these stories. You need to share your story, but you need to share other people's stories too, because other people need hope, and they need awareness of this. Because I truly believe there's so many people out there that have no idea why they're struggling, again, with anger or whatever it is they're dealing with. And if they understand the father wound, then they can find healing from it, right? And God can do these incredible things in their life. And so for me, it was, I had done a bunch of writing in the first 6 months, but I couldn't get anybody to really pay attention, you know? And so I remember...
Well, because you don't have the credentials. So it's just, who are you?
Yeah. yeah, nobody knows who, mm-hmm. you know, who I am. And so I was like, okay. And just one day I remember driving in my truck. And again, just God impressing upon me, like, you got to make a movie. And I was like, whoa, you know, I don't know anything about movies.
Yeah.
So I remember walking in the house and my wife's in her office. And I remember, honey, I think God's telling me we need to make a movie. And she, of course, her response is like, okay. You know, again, supportive and encouraging.
Yeah.
But didn't know anything about lighting, audio, nothing. And I wasted a lot of footage on the front end, you know, at the very beginning. But God just started opening the doors, and man, it just came together when we got John Eldridge. Obviously, was a big thing, and that really kind of legitimized us as a movie itself. And so, just the process and the journey. Like I mentioned, you know, we interviewed over 80 people, and it was a nugget in every single person I interviewed, ordinary or best-selling author, pastors, whatever. Mm-hmm. But everybody had a story, and there was something God was teaching me that then I was taking back and implementing my own home, and it was helping me change my life and legacy as a dad.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I love about the Father Effect movie is you can tell this wasn't done by Sony Pictures. You know,
correct.
I mean, it's more the Blair Witch Project kind of, you know, it's just kind of, hey, this is who I am, and I'm telling my story, and the opening has, you know, is a dramatization of your dad taking his life, and that's done a little differently. You had a studio do that for you, is that right?
We did. We had a studio in Dallas who did the trailer, and that's the one we get the most comments on. And you know, the thing about documentaries, which was, again, nice, I didn't know anything about movies, period, documentary or whatever. And so there was this part of me that I didn't know anything about it, so I didn't know what rules to break or what rules not to break or whatever, right?
Right.
In a documentary, you want it to be kind of raw and real.
Right.
And you've got that leeway to do so versus a regular movie that you see at the theater, right?
Right, right, right.
So everything kind of came together and worked in my favor.
Well, it is the testimonies of a lot of people, and so you have experts that are weighing in, whether it's Meg Meeker or John Eldridge, well-known people, but then you have just other people that are just talking about, you know, I think about the guy that was talking to his dad, and his dad was dead, but he didn't know it.
Yes, and I got to tell that story,
because
it's one of my favorite ones. So we interviewed a guy named Larry North. And he owns a bunch of gyms and fitness centers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I had connected with him, and I said, hey, I'd love to hear your story, your dad's story. And so went over to this place, and he tells this great story. His dad was a gambler, gambling addict, and he was pretty much estranged, in and out of his life. And Larry would tell these great stories. He said, my dad would just show up and, hey, Larry boy, my guy. And Larry would be like, dude, you hadn't been here in months. But he would think he didn't do anything wrong. He just was just being dad or whatever, right? And so his dad got on in age, and eventually he was living in Vegas, of all places, as a gambling addict, right? Driving a taxi. And he got cancer. So Larry brought him back to Dallas-Fort Worth, put him up in a VA hospital. And he knew the nurse there, and he said, hey, just give me a heads up. Something's going on. And so sure enough, within a few weeks, the nurse calls him. Says, hey, Larry, you better get down here. This doesn't look good. So he says he drops everything, rushes down to the hospital. And he says he gets there and he just busts through the door. And he says, dad's just passed out, laid out on his hospital bed, non-responsive, but he just grabs his hand. And he says everything he's ever wanted to say to him. He says, I forgive you, I love you, all these things, right? He says he walks out of the room. And the nurse walks up to him. She's got tears rolling down her face. And she says, you know, I didn't want to tell you this, Larry. I didn't want to interrupt you. But your dad passed away an hour ago. And he said, you know what? I didn't do that for him. I did that for me.
Wow. That is powerful. You know, even if your dad is gone, if you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, you got to get that out. And it's not for the other person. It's for you. And the Lord says, if you don't forgive men, I won't forgive you. And so we have to forgive and let go of that offender and just say, Lord, I give that all to you. And when we do, we find God's grace and God's mercy and a release that changes our lives. Well, we're talking to John Finch, the producer, director of The Father Effect, and we're talking about father wounds. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Don't go away.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
A charitable gift annuity is a gift to American Family Association. Not only are you giving to the Lord's work, but you'll receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
Do you have anything difficult in your life? Something that's facing you right now that is just too difficult for you? It may be impossible for you. It's not impossible for Him. And He wants to do a miracle in your life today.
Find real hope when you discover the power of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
There's a way for us to pray, and I like to think of this at the beginning of each day. There's a way for us to pray that the priorities of heaven will become the priorities of earth, that the priorities of God will become the priorities of each one of us.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Prayer, the Great Adventure, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shree. We're talking to my good friend, John Finch, and we're talking about his movie, The Father Effect. And as we shared yesterday, many people are carrying in their hearts a wound from their past, a wound from their father. You know, we can have mother wounds, but a father wound is something that is just, it's hard to overcome until we come to grips with the fact that this is what I'm dealing with, and I am mad at my dad because he didn't give me this, that, or the other. You know, John, one of the things I learned from Robert Lewis in the men's fraternity, he talked about how God the Father, how he dealt with God the Son, and at the beginning of his ministry, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens opened up, and the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then at the Mount of Transfiguration, the same thing. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." And I have shared from what Robert Lewis shared with us, every child needs to hear from dad. "Son, daughter, I love you. I'm proud of you. And you're good at blank, whatever blank is. You're good at art. You're good at being loving and caring to people. You're good at this sport. You're good, whatever." But they need to be affirmed. And I know that you do that with your girls. When everything really came to light in your mind and heart, hey, this is how I need to forgive my dad. And then I need to be a good dad to my girls. So talk about that, how that switch flipped for you, because it wasn't that you were a bad dad. You weren't doing anything bad to your girls, but you probably just weren't engaged with them like you needed to be.
Yes, it was an awareness thing. For me, it was all about, again, being aware, being fully there when I was there, right? Being fully present when I was there right. physically. And so this, for me, it was a change, and now I live it, you know, practically every minute of every day, right? I'm walking in a new awareness right. of my impact as a father and a husband. So for me, it became very apparent, and again, through these interviews, the people, the Dr. Meg Meekers and all these people that were giving me advice as we were in the film, there's some great advice of things that I learned. And it's you know, I try intentionally every day, get up and hug and love on my wife in front of my kids, even when they were younger. And of course, the older two would go, gross,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, get a room.
Yeah, get a room. But yet my youngest would be sitting at the table and I would look over there and she'd have the biggest grin on her face, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the intentionality and purpose driven things that I do now, and it's those. It's loving my wife in front of my kids, so that they see what that looks like. Because my daughters, right, as a dad, husband, and father, or a dad, husband, and man, I'm setting the standard by which my girls are going to measure every other man, husband, and father, right? And we're setting the standard by which our sons are going to measure themselves.
Right.
As a man, husband, and father. So it's those things. And I'll tell you one of the, again, many wow moments in making of the film. But one of the things I learned to do, we interviewed Neil Jeffrey, who's a pastor at Prestonwood Baptist.
I love Neil.
Yeah. Oh, just an absolute stud. He was one of my favorite interviews of everyone.
Yeah.
And he tells this great story about his dad being a prayer warrior. And he was an All-American at Baylor University, Sikkim.
Right.
You know, yeah, I'm an alumni. And went on to back up Dan Fouts for the San Diego Chargers. And he just tells these great stories, but he tells the story of his dad being a prayer warrior. And he said, after the games, and I had some really rough games, my dad would say, circle up, son. We're going to say a prayer and give the Lord thanks. And so he talked about his dad and just this the power of prayer. And he said, John, and I'll never forget this. He said, John, there's nothing like a child hear his father pray for him out loud in that manly, fatherly voice. And I remember thinking, wow, that's, yeah, I need that, right? I thought, up to that point, I would walk out of my girls' bedrooms at night, patting myself on the back, thinking I was Billy Graham, you know, that I had just done this great prayer. Well, I get home that night, and I said, honey, prayer time's changed at night. And so now I ask my girls, even to this day, what can I pray for you about? Because it does a couple of different things. It shows them that I'm worried about their concerns and their issues, right?
Right.
And they see me take their worries and concerns on their behalf to the Father.
Right.
Right? And so there's a number of different things there. And it then leads to additional conversations after the fact. So if they're worried about a test or a friendship or whatever, I can say, hey, how can I help you with that? What can I do? Now, the more even powerful thing, and this is I love doing this, is praying out loud to God with my girls and my wife and speaking things like, God, thank you for this amazing lady that we are so blessed to call our mom.
Yeah.
And that I'm so incredibly lucky to have as a wife, right? Speaking words of affirmation and to her,
right,
to God, and them seeing that and hearing that.
Right.
There's nothing more powerful than that. And that's just, again, one of the many things I learned.
Right. Well, I've said this before. I mean, it's natural for a kid to love mom and dad. They want mom to love dad. They want dad to love mom. And I think kids connect with mom in a different way, you know, because moms tend not to bail out on the family. I mean, your mother's a great example. She's the glue that was holding everything together. Dad is the guy that's in and out. And some of that is just dad's earning a living and maybe that takes him away. And so your girls have a different relationship with Michelle than they do with you. But when they see dad loving on their mom, that gives them such a sense of security. Because kids, let's face it, kids growing up, they're nervous and worried that their parents aren't going to make it. Because they have so many friends, their families don't make it. I remember my youngest daughter, Sarah, she'd be like, now you guys are never going to get divorced, right? And so when they see that love, man, my dad loves my mom loves my dad, that works wonders to give a kid such security.
So, and to that point, I think you just said it, it's our kids have enough to worry about. Right, in today's age,
right,
with social media and all the chaos, the access they have to seeing everything going on around the world that we didn't have growing up, right? All the anxiety, right, everything they're dealing with, the last thing they need to be worried about is mom and dad staying together. So that when we as men are loving on our wives, speaking affirmations, telling them in front of our kids how much we love them, how much we appreciate them, how much we're thankful for them, when the kids walk out of the door, that's the last thing they're worried about.
Okay, so John, you've taken the father effect and you've brought it into the prison system. Okay, so you get, the prisoners come in and they watch it. Now, most of those guys have a pretty massive father wound. You were saying that the statistics are probably 85%?
85 to 90% is what they say.
Okay, because I remember years ago a story about a prison ministry. They did a card push with the prisoners for Mother's Day, and they ran out of cards because all the prisoners want to do this for mothers, for my mom. When they did the Father's Day, no takers, because those guys, just being blunt, most of them hate their dads. Their dads weren't there. They don't know who their dad is. So they grow up with this anger, which mostly, as you said, with a guy that mostly plays out in anger and violence. That's why they're in prison. Kids in gangs. Where are the fathers? Nowhere to be found. So when you show that in prison, what kind of response do you get?
You know, some of them get very emotional. Some of them get very uncomfortable.
I would see the uncomfortable.
Kind of, messing around their chair, just not being able to sit still. Some of them, I've been in the back of the room, and we typically have anywhere between 100 and 150 guys in the gym at the prison. And I'll stand in the back of the room and watch. And you see, a lot of them, their heads go down. They don't want to go there. They don't want to deal with all that. So there's a lot of feelings of a couple of things. Most of them, they'll put their heads down because they feel guilty because of their own fathering skills, right? And what
right.
they've done to their kids.
Right.
Obviously, where they're at, they feel guilty at not being in their kids' lives and being behind the walls. And then there's the ones that their heads go down too because they're like, oh, my dad was just, he was a piece of work, right? Or, yeah, I don't have a dad. Never knew my father. Yeah, the stories you hear are just, they're heart-wrenching, right? But I think also these inmates get hope. Because they see they're not alone.
Right.
And they're not the only ones. And it's funny, the stories we hear even after leaving, the relationships that are made as a result of, because we do Q&A at the end. And so being able to have these honest, real conversations with these guys and help them and support them in every way we can. And we're doing that. It's even the ones that get released, the ones that are still behind the walls, it's how do we help them be a better dad from behind the walls?
Well, I would think with a lot of inmates especially, they don't want to show a lot of the soft underbelly, and it's like, hey, I need to be tough because prison is a tough place. But man, that movie wrecks people because it
does. It will make the biggest, baddest dude on the planet come to his knees in tears. And
yeah.
I've seen it over and over and over again. And it's God just through the emotion itself. And again, this longing for a father, right? We all have that longing for a father that's going to give us those affirmations that we've talked about, that we know loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that, when it came to God even, early on, was tough for me to fathom. In the movie, there's a great piece. I asked the question, how did your earthly father influence your view of your heavenly father? And there was one young man in there who said, I couldn't even say the word father because of what that represented in my life as an earthly father. And he said he had pastors and friends trying to encourage me. I couldn't say it. It was weird. Couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the example of what we are as fathers, and a lot of us don't realize and understand this, we are a reflection of what our kids believe God the Father is mm-hmm. like. We are the first conduit, the first example of what a father's supposed to be. So if we're that over-the-top, military-style dad who's angry and whatever, they're going to think God's the same way. If we're the dad that's kind of distant and aloof, that, is really not engaged, then they're going to think, well, that's the way God is. And so we are impacting our kids in that way. And that's an eternal way, right?
Right.
An eternal relationship that we've got to be walking in a different awareness every day of that and how we can be an example in the best way we can. In the way that we want our kids to believe God is.
Well, the statement that I shared yesterday, A child will have a hard time finding a father in God unless he can find something of God in his father. And I had the privilege for a long time of going into the women's center here in the Texarkana area and sharing with the ladies. And we have a group of them that come to our church every Sunday. And we love those ladies. So many of them make decisions for Christ. We see them get baptized and we see them really set free from drugs and addictions and things like that. But you talk about a father wound. Those women have tremendous father wounds because they were abused by their father, so many of them. And, you know, it just breaks your heart. John, I know you resonate with this because you have girls, but to think that somebody would hurt my girl, you know, I tell guys this a lot. I said, listen, if you are married to a Christian, you're married to God's little girl. And we know how it is. You better not hurt my little girl. Well, God says the same thing to us. Hey, you're married to my little girl. You better take care of her because I see everything that you do. And I tell those girls, I said, listen, you may have had a terrible situation with your dad, and he may have done terrible things to you with physical abuse or, God forbid, sexual abuse. But you can trust God. And just as you said, John, it's hard for them to be able to say the word father or to think of God the Father in a loving way because they haven't had any example of that. And whether it's their father or a brother or some guy that was coming in and out of their mom's life, there's some terrible, horrible stories. And the good news is God can forgive and God can restore and God can totally change a person from the inside out. Have you seen some things like that as you've shown the movie where all of a sudden a guy comes to that aha moment, really gets his life right with the Lord, and things change?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, we've had testimonies come in, and I've talked to people. And I'll tell you one story that, again, I think it really drove the point home that this was so much bigger than me. It had nothing to do with me, actually. We had a guy, a young guy, reach out to me, and he was telling me the story. And I said, hey, can I come get a camera on you and hear your story? So he goes on to this story. He said, man, I've been estranged from my father for many years. And he goes, I moved back to Dallas because I didn't have an op. I lost my job, didn't have any other options. He said, I had to ask my dad to go to work for him. So he's like, I go back to work. I go to work for my dad. We only had a work relationship. That was it. And he said, I had seen your 15-minute film one night. And he said, my dad was coming over just to pick up a part. He hadn't even been in my house before. And he goes, I asked him to walk in the house for a second and watch this movie I'd seen on YouTube. So he says he sits down next to him. They watch the movie, complete silence. He says after the 15-minute film, his dad turns to him. He's got tears rolling down his eyes. And he says, son, will you forgive me? And he said, the movie said things to his father that he couldn't say.
Mm.
Right? It talked about things that he would never be able to talk about with his father. Mm-hmm. And he said, then the father turned around and called the other brother, who they have not all been in the same room in 15 years. And he tells the other brother, look, do me a favor. Your brother's going to send you a link to this film. Watch it. He said, me and your brother are going camping in a couple of weeks. If you want to go, let me know. So he says, the brother calls back in about an hour and says, hey, is that invite still open for camping? He says, John, this is, it was a game changer for me and my family, and a brother and a dad who have not been in the same room in 15 plus years. It brought us together. And you hear stories like that, and you go, this is totally God. Only God can do things like this. And so there's story after story after story similar to that.
Well, God is in the healing business, the restoration business, the rescuing, the saving business, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I'm talking to John Finch. He is the producer of the Father Effect movie and the author of the book, The Father Effect, and talking about the impact of fathers on the lives of children and grandchildren and wives. And it is a great movie. I encourage you to watch it on YouTube, The Father Effect. Get some Kleenex when you watch it because it will hit you hard. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Singing and enjoying beautiful and God-honoring songs and hymns is both a privilege and a biblical command. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join Isaac Crockett and me as we talk with well-known hymn writer Keith Getty of the Keith and Kristen Getty Music Team. Keith joins us on the program directly from Ireland as we talk music and Christ, our hope in life and death, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Undoubtedly, you've heard this question. If you were to stand before God, what reason would you give Him why He should let you into His heaven? This is Jim Garlow. Intriguing question, to say the least. It reminds me of the thieves on the cross. And only one speaks to Jesus directly, only one who admits his sin. It's so difficult for us to admit, I was wrong, or I am sorry. Truth is, the longer we walk with God, the more the temptation is for us to feel like heaven is sort of earned, when in fact, what we deserve is judgment, and yet what we get is mercy. The spirit of gratitude towards God is always rooted in the spirit of humility. Don't miss the point. The first is admitting guilt. The second is recognizing the sentence you're getting is what you deserve. And the prayer is, Lord, I deserve judgment, but I'm getting mercy. This is Jim Garlow.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it. And we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to my good friend, John Finch. And John has produced the movie, The Father Effect. And in that movie, he deals with the father wound that so many of us carry around with us and maybe not aware of what it is, but there's something that is causing us a problem in life as we get older. And for John, with the drinking and the being two different people, one guy at home and one guy on the road as a salesman, he found out it was that I was holding a lot of animosity toward my dad. John's father committed suicide when John was 11 years old. John didn't, you know, as an 11-year-old boy, you don't understand that at all. So, John, take me through that. So you're at school. I mean, you have no idea that your dad's having issues with the law and what's going on. It's just a regular day for you, right?
It is, and but it's a day I remember like it was yesterday, right? And I don't, for whatever reason, we drive to school, and he was very rarely in town to take me to school, but this day he took me to school. And I remember just being a little weird because I was like, he never takes me to school. And so I remember driving up to the front of school, me getting out and starting to go, literally just starting to go to school, and he says, hey, hold on a second. You owe me something. I need a kiss. It's like, okay. So I leaned back in the car, gave him a kiss, and then left and went in school. And it was later on that day that I was sitting on top of my desk. The school, we were showing a movie in the class, And all of a sudden, the vice principal walks up and says, "Hey, John, you need to come to the office." And I'm thinking, whoa, I'm a pretty good kid. I've never been to the office, right? Yeah. So we get down to the office, and my pastor was there.
You were fifth grader or sixth grader?
I was fifth grader.
Okay.
Yeah, my pastor was there, and he said, "Hey, John," and he didn't go into great detail. He said, "Hey, we need to get you home." I'm like, okay, you know. So we drive down the street. You know, I only lived probably a mile from the school, but it seemed like it was, you know, 100 miles. And we get there, and I remember looking up. We live in an apartment, Section 8 apartments, and look up on the balcony, and I could tell my mom had been weeping pretty, you know, severely. And so, and after that, I don't remember anything. And literally, it's like I don't remember having a conversation with anyone. I don't remember anything.
So the pastor didn't tell you that your dad was dead?
No. No, he didn't. And I don't remember the conversation with my mom. It's like, I don't know if I blacked out. I don't know. I just don't have any memories. I remember it being cloudy and overcast.
Yeah, and the movie brings that out.
Yeah. And I remember just, you know, it's like, and I remember after the fact, and just there was something about that day, cloudy. You know, it was like just crazy, weird foreshadowing or something like, okay, my life's never going to be the same.
Yeah. How did you, as a little boy, as you think back, when you started processing that, what emotions, anger, sadness, a mixture, what was going through you?
Yeah, I think there was a combination of things. I don't remember having long thoughts about it. I probably did. I'm certain I did. And again, you know, I didn't have any conversation with anybody about it. I rarely had conversations even with friends in high school, really close friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't talk about it. And as I've become, as we released the film, it was interesting. I had old friends reach out to me. It's like, dude, I never knew. You know,
really?
They never knew the story, right? And people, lifelong friends, they just never knew the real story as to how my dad died and the fact that he was involved in the mafia and all those type of things.
And
right?
Kids at school didn't know your dad committed suicide?
No, I don't think a lot of them did. And they just didn't know the whole story of the struggle, right? And everything I dealt with, the alcoholism and everything. And they knew me in those years, but they just thought I was just another guy and, you know, again, life of the party, fun, whatever. But it was, yeah, I remember having, you know, thoughts, just brief thoughts. And I had these crazy dreams. To this day, this is really interesting. To this day, they were very frequent early on, but to this day, probably once every couple of years, I'll have this dream that my dad didn't die and that I'm young again and that I see him at a gas station or I see him at the grocery store.
Oh, wow.
And it is a crazy dream because I'm like, again, I'm back to 11 years old and I wanted so badly for it not to be true, right? And I think that's what I kind of processed. That was my processing. This really isn't true or whatever.
Right.
And so and early on, our referee did, I was having a dream a lot. And it was kind of the same dream. I'd see him out. I'd see a man with his back turned to me. And he would look just like my dad. And I'd go up to him. And I was like, oh, I knew you weren't dad. I knew it.
Yeah.
He'd turn around. It wasn't him.
Ah.
You know, or it was dreams like that. And again, even to this day, I'll have that dream. It's a lot less now. Again, probably once every couple of years.
Yeah.
But it's that dream of...
Didn't you tell me the guy in the movie looked a lot like your dad?
Yes, he was crazy. In the conversation I had with him, and this is one when it really hit me to the power of just where he was at mentally, the depth, I should say. So I'm having a conversation with the guy, and he brings two shirts to the taping. And I was like, one of them was the exact shirt my dad used to wear.
Oh,
exact.
Wow.
It was scary. And so he's asking me, you know, what do you think your dad was going through that day? I want to kind of get in character or whatever. And I was like, it hit me. I was like, what takes a man to the point in his life where he's literally fixing to pull a trigger?
Yeah.
To end his life.
Was a shotgun too, wasn't it?
It was a sawed-off shotgun so that he could get to the trigger and still put it on his chest. And so he had gone through medical books. We found medical books where he had gone through to see if he shot himself in the chest or the head, which he would die the quickest, right? And so
who found your dad?
I believe it was the police were called.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your mom never she never saw him like that.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe so. But, you know, it was that conversation with that actor. I remember like, whoa, that hit me like a rock. So then they get to taping, and I remember running back up off the hill. My truck was parked behind, over a hill behind some trees. And I just went in my truck, and I just started processing that. How did my dad get to that point in his life?
Yeah.
You know, just thinking about that moment, and I just started crying.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm like, and I was crying even more again for my father, because I'm like, I so wished he would have known about a father wound.
Right.
And that he had one.
Right.
And that all a bunch of this other stuff that he was dealing with, he could have found healing and hope and forgiveness and all of these things.
Right.
And his life could have been different too.
Right.
Right. And essentially, that's why I do what I do. It's helping those guys figure it out.
Right. Well, one of my favorite verses, John, is Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm convinced that when people commit suicide, it's because they don't see that there's any hope. You know, and I know your dad was facing maybe having to go back to prison. He had made a vow, I'm not going back to prison. That's just not going to happen. The world would be better off without me. We just start believing all those lies. And the truth of the matter is, hey, your wife loves you. Your boys love you. You may have messed up big time, but your kids still love you deep down. You know, even if a father who abuses his children and the children say, I hate you, they really don't. They're just hurt. Deep down, they still, that's my dad. And I just have a natural love for my dad, for my mom. And, you know, it's just so sad to see that, you know, as you're able to look at it from a different perspective. So it's not just what I lost. How dare you, Dad, do that to Mom and me and my brothers. But what was going on in your heart that caused you to do that? And I weep for you.
Yeah, and you know, it's the idea too, and helping people understand it's never too late for forgiveness, right?
Right.
I interviewed a guy, Dennis Longley. He was 84 years old. I had spoken at a small church in Dallas, and he called me the next day and said, "Hey, I got to tell you what God did last night." So I said, "Hey, can I get a camera?"
Yeah.
You know, went over and got in front of him, and he just said, "Johnny said, God used your message and started doing things in my life." And he said, last night, he goes, I asked God to forgive me because I had a lot of anger and resentment and bitterness toward my father. And then he said, my dad's been gone for many, many years. He says, I'm 84 years old. And he said, I asked my dad to forgive me. And he said, for the first time in my life, I went to bed at peace. 84 years old.
Wow.
And so it's never too late for forgiveness. And our kids are so much more forgiving than we believe they are.
Right.
Right? And back to the point, forgiveness, it's not about them. It's about you. I know many a men who their dads don't think they've done anything wrong, or their dad's already passed.
Right.
It has nothing to do with their father. The forgiveness, like the Larry North story, I did that for me.
Right.
Right? Forgiveness is for you.
Right.
It ain't for the other person. It's for you.
Right.
That's where the life change comes, and that's where that burden gets lifted from your shoulders.
Right. Well, let me encourage you listeners, if you have a men's ministry, or as we did at First Baptist Texarkana, I just did a Sunday night, and I said, we're going to show the Father effect, and we're going to then do a Q&A, and John, I had called you and told you we were going to do this, and you said, well, let me come out. And so, John, I think you introduced the movie or whatever, then we showed the movie, and then we did a Q&A, and it was there were a lot of tears. I had a lot of tears because I dealt with issues with my dad, and my dad left my mom for another woman. We were about 2 years where he was out of the home. He lived in Houston, Texas, and we lived in Los Altos, California, and I didn't understand that at all. I mean, I just knew I wanted my parents together, and so there was a wound there that I hadn't really connected the dots. And you know, when a dad is not there, because a dad does protect the kids when he is there from predators, and there are a lot of predators out there, as we've seen in churches. You can have pedophiles that prey on on young boys. You can have coaches that do stuff like that. And dad protects that, just like you protect your girls. And if they get involved with somebody, it's like, that's a bad apple, and I got to step in here. That's my job as a dad. Well, when you don't have that, that creates a wound. And I think a lot of guys, they don't understand. What, how do I process this?
You know what, too, brother, and I appreciate you and all that you do, your willingness to have this conversation, right? And to show the movie and have the just real honest Q&A afterwards, because there's not a lot of churches that are willing to have this conversation. And I think hopefully more will, because if we can get the men in the church healed and find freedom and wholeness and all of those things and forgiveness, we get those guys healed. Man,
right?
You talk about some powerful churches, right? If
right.
you get the guys healthy and healed, that's where the game changer is.
That is so true. I love the passage in Hebrews. You know, we talk about, so dad is, our responsibility is to reflect our Heavenly Father to our children. And, you know, dads who are very stern make it hard for their kids because they see God as stern. Here's a great verse for us, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. God sits on a throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. David said, you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. To just recognize that God is the father of the prodigal son. He's the God you can come back to. You'll find his arms open wide. Your earthly father may not have been like that, but your heavenly father is. And he is the example for all of us as fathers to be that to our kids. John, as your girls get older, how are you able to be that for them?
You know, in the best way I can, it's spending time in the Word, right? And I'm not perfect at it. There's days I miss. There's all of those things. But it's also in having accountability, having a band of brothers. I've got a couple of guys that they know all my stuff. Uh-huh. They know my junk, all my struggles, all my things that I deal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's 3 a.m. and I'm tempted to do whatever, mm-hmm. right, then I know I can call them and they're going to talk me off the ledge. And us as guys, we've got to get, all of us, we got to get past this idea, like I mentioned earlier, that if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. We're all jacked up,
right.
right? We're all imperfect and flawed. So once we realize that and understand that and have those honest conversations with one another about our own struggles, it's amazing what God can do just through those conversations. But it's having those band of brothers that you can reach out to that are going to help you and guide you. And even having that older guy that's a father that's been there and done that, right?
Right.
As a pastor friend of mine used to say, he paid the dumb tax. right? He's a guy I can go to and say, hey, I'm struggling here. What do I do?
Yes.
And he's the guy you can rely on.
Yes. So we started a ministry at First Baptist Texarkana called Man Up, and it's designed to get guys together to say you're not alone in the struggles, and we want to come alongside and help you. Hey, you need me. I need you. We need one another. Well, we've been talking for the last 2 days to John Finch, the author and the director and the producer of The Father Effect. Check it out. It's on YouTube. It will minister to you. Watch it as a family and let it develop conversation, and you will be blessed. You've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you again next week. Hey, shine and share, and may God bless you.